supper here today. Fill up the jug and blow out the light. Ain't gonna get no dinner here tonight.
It's hard to describe what John Cohn does because he's done so much, and one thing often seems to lead to another. He's perhaps best known as an original member of the New Lost City Ramblers, but he's also a photographer whose work is in the Metropolitan Museum's collection and has been published in a number of books, and he has directed 15 documentaries. This Saturday and Sunday, you can see a four-program survey of his movies at the Anthology Film Archives in the East Village, and I'm very pleased to welcome Mr. Cohn back to our show. Hello, good to see you again.
It's nice to be here.
Well, I gave that list. How would you describe yourself? Does one of all the things you do stand out over all the others?
When I try to put it all together, I just have to say I'm an artist. And it just all just goes out from there.
And came first? I'm assuming it was playing guitar?
Well, before that, I was always interested in being a painter. Then I became a photographer, and as a hobby, became a musician. And then that became the New Lost City Ramblers, and then...
You once said, I love Giacometti's work, I love de Kooning's work, and I love Roscoe Holcomb's work. What surprised me was when I realized that they were not so different from each other. How?
Powerful, powerful music. The soul expressing itself in forceful terms, understanding all culture and not even being intellectual about it, just having the passion of the music or the art.
Is passion to some degree what drove you? When you started taking pictures, were they galleries that you could exhibit in?
No, of course not.
So what were you taking those pictures for?
I was taking them, again, for my inner need as an artist. I saw things that are so powerful and beautiful, and I wanted to capture them or have them part of my experience. Although there was no market for anything.
Well, now you actually have two photography exhibits in town.
That's true.
One at the gallery on Madison Avenue, and the other one is down at NYU's Gray Art Gallery.
Yeah.
Different kinds of pictures in each?
Well, actually, both of these shows are dedicated to 5 or 6 years that I lived on Lower Third Avenue, back in the late 50s and early 60s.
Near the 10th Street, which was then the big art center?
Yeah, that was the block I lived on. I just did a book for Steidl of my photographs from back then. The book is called Cheap Rents and de Kooning, because that's why we came there.
De Kooning lived on 10th Street.
Yeah,
and a bunch of other artists who gravitated there. There were galleries on 10th Street in those
cooperative
days.
Art galleries, yeah. It was an amazing time. But it was at that same place, in that same loft where I lived, that I also, that's where I photographed Bob Dylan, and also Roscoe Holcomb from Kentucky stayed with me there.
You'll be showing a 3-minute film of Bob Dylan that you made in 1962.
Yes,
well,
I was testing.
What was he like then? Nobody thought he was going to win a Nobel Prize.
Oh, he was a wonderful, one of the many crazy young people who was circulating around the village at that time. I was testing out my camera. There's no sound on this shot. And then I took the camera to Kentucky and did Roscoe Holcomb.
That's The High Lonesome Sound, your first yes. full-length film, which is going to be shown as the first program at 6 on Saturday. What led you to make it?
Well, I had already in 59 made some recordings there on my own, no purpose, no money, no commission. And then that's when I first met Roscoe, and I brought him to festivals, and I brought him to New York for the Friends of Old Time Music. I thought that was good, and you could see my photographs of the region, but to be there with the music and the visual all together, that's why I had to make a film.
What distinguished Roscoe Holcomb from other Americana artists?
He has elements of all of them, but the way it came together in his life, it's so powerful. He never wanted to be on the radio. He never wanted to make records. He was a home musician. He was the essential working man, back porch singer.
You asked us to play two pairs of different cuts of music to make some points. Before we hear the first pair, what are they and what do you want us to listen for?
The first pair is the recording that I made of Roscoe Holcomb in 1959. And he sings a song and it made my whole person come tingle because it brought all the elements that I ever loved about traditional music, brought them all together in one voice. and in strange rhythms. And then, so he's there, and you feel the rawness. The second cut is from a few years ago. Ricky Skaggs, a very famous bluegrass musician, he's a big fan of Roscoe, and he covered the same song. And you can hear the difference, and you can hear how it becomes alive in modern terms, but the comparison is very powerful.
So let's listen to two versions of Across the Rocky Mountain.
Sail across the Rocky Mountain, I walk for miles and miles. Sail across the Rocky Mountain, I walk for miles and miles. Sail, never forget my mother's looks, don't grasp her sweetest smile. Farmer who lived a neighbor by. He ate my lonely daughters and heard her cast my eyes. She was most tall and handsome, blue eyes and curly hair. There never was a girl in this fine world but her I could compare.
So those are two...
Well, that was just Roscoe. Yeah. We haven't heard Ricky yet.
Okay, let's listen to Ricky.
Across the Rocky Mountains, I walk for miles and miles. Across the Rocky Mountain, I walk for miles and miles. I never forget my mother.
And that was Ricky Skaggs.
Yeah, and Ricky had to get off the regular bluegrass thing and accept the beat, the heartbeat of Roscoe's music.
But it wasn't as raw as Roscoe's approach.
Nothing in my life has ever cut as deeply as Roscoe's voice.
That's something that we hear a lot with a folk musician. You never use the word folk, do you? Even though you married into folk royalty?
Yes.
You married Pete Seeger's daughter?
Sister.
Sister.
I made 17 films about this music, or 15 of them about this music, and never used the word folk.
But when we talk about folk musicians, not the original ones, they always seem to iron out the music a bit.
Yeah, I was tired of that. I kept hearing people like Pete and Burl Ives and other singers saying, "Here's a song that a guy on a back porch in Kentucky sings." I wanted to hear that guy.
So we're going to hear two more, Dillard Chandler and then Tim Erickson, Riley Bargas, and Tim O'Brien singing the same song.
Yeah, the second cut is from the film Cold Mountain.
I wish my baby was born and sitting on its papa's knee. And me, poor girl, were dead and gone, and the green grass growing over my feet. So I ain't a hater, never will be. I wish my baby was born and sitting on its papa's knee, and me poor girl,
and me poor girl,
were dead and gone, and the green grass growing over my feet.
Two versions of I Wish My Baby Was Born, the first from a field recording you did and then the second from the movie soundtrack for Cold Mountain.
Yes, yeah. It's terrific for me to have these things that I did on my own way back when there was no audience for them.
They would have been lost otherwise.
Yeah. Well, in a strange way, though, my recordings have had the effect back in North Carolina of reviving that tradition. They're very proud of it now.
How did you wind up going to the Andes in South America and the little community of Queros?
Queros.
It's a Q with an apostrophe, E-R-O-S.
Eros.
Queros.
Eros. Yeah.
You that's a very different kind of music. And you made a film called Mountain Music of Peru, which will be shown on Sunday at 5:30, along with Carnival in Queros.
Yes. There's issues.
Would they recognize my accent?
No. Manan Kantru. That's Quechua for no.
But very different kind of, even though we might also call it folk music, a very different kind of folk music.
Well, this is older than anything. It goes back before the Incas, the sound. I mean, it's really, really beautifully old. And how I got there it's a long story. But my first trips to Peru were to study the weaving that the people made now, because I was comparing it to the ancient weavings. But then I started to hear the music, and then in 64 I traveled all around, recorded the music, and then I made maybe five more films about Peruvian music.
And then more recent ones are Roscoe Holcomb, you went back to him,
yes,
from Daisy, Kentucky, which was 2009. How old was he at the time?
No, the new film is based on old footage that never got used. It's extraordinary stuff, but I put it aside back in 1962. And then I rediscovered it. And using digital technology, put things in sync that never had been before.
And then you did Visions of Mary Frank in 2014. She's not a singer.
Well, she was my neighbor on Third Avenue. A wonderful artist, a good friend. And she needed a film made about her.
Now, all of my staff wants to know why you don't use the word folk. What's wrong with the word folk?
Because it's become so misused, or it's used, and everybody has a different impression of what it might mean. It might mean anybody who plays an acoustic guitar, or a girl with long hair, or a singer-songwriter, or a traditional artist, or a hillbilly artist, or an ethnic, use the word ethnic artist. It's so diffused, and it doesn't clarify anything. And furthermore, none of the people who I've ever recorded ever use the word. None of them.
Mm-hmm. They just saw themselves as working musicians.
Not even that. It's home music. It's local music. Most of them aren't even working musicians. They work at other things. Roscoe was working in concrete, and Dillard was doing other odd jobs. No, this is not professionals.
On the other hand, you still are involved with the Brooklyn Folk Festival, aren't you?
That's an amazing thing. It's
you don't want to
up.
Take the word folk out of it? The Brooklyn...
I argue with the director, who's a good friend of mine. I guess in that sense, he needs it to bring in people who've been to the other folk festivals. But this festival is so dedicated to the real thing. It's amazing. It's wonderful.
And that's in April, the end of 28th April. Through the 30th. Where is that?
At St. Anne's Church in Brooklyn.
You can find all the details of the Anthology Film Archive screenings and the photography exhibits, plus the Brooklyn Folk Festival, on our show page at wnyc.org/Lopate. What projects are you working on right now?
Well, I've been writing a film script about things that happened in Peru and Spain in the 1600s.
Hmm.
And
would that be a story film?
It's not
a documentary.
No, it's meant to be a 10-part series for television. I've been working on this with a friend for 20 years. It's immense, but that's what I'm doing today.
And is there any chance that the New Lost City Ramblers will reunite and do some more performing?
Maybe in heaven. Mike Seeger died a while ago.
No, I understand, but there's always other people who can come in and do those parts.
In my life, what's happened is these three young guys, the Downhill Strugglers, I play with them, and it's the same spirit, the same great music, and we're going to play at the Brooklyn Folk Festival.
And then there's this four-part survey of your films that'll be shown at the Anthology Film Archives. That's at 32 Second Avenue and 2nd Street. Was it hard choosing the ones to be shown?
Yes, very hard, because I've made, I think, 17 films, actually, and to get it down to half of them. So I made some tough decisions and left out. Let me tell you about what I left out.
Okay.
An incredible film about a Greek musician, Pericles in America. He's a very great musician in Greece, but he lives in New York, which is fine. And there's films about ballad singing in England. There wasn't time for them. But so I focused on the American things and one session on the Peruvian music.
And since there's a lot of talk about whether we should allow more immigrants into the country or not, how do you think that would, if we'd had similar laws in the past, how do you think that would have affected the kind of music that you have focused on for much of your career?
I remember back in the days of Kennedy, and maybe I misheard it, but I thought he said, we've got to keep the world safe for diversity. And that's always stayed with me. I've felt much, my whole life has been enriched by all these other cultures.
You put the Roscoe Holcomb from Daisy, Kentucky film together from old footage. Is there more old footage that you want to use for another film?
All my footage, all my films, all my photographs, all my recordings, they're all at the Library of Congress. So if anybody wants to go there and listen or look me up, mm-hmm. I'll be there even after I'm gone.
But they can actually see you during this series at the Anthology Film Archives because you'll be introducing films on the screenings on Sunday?
Yes, well, and on Saturday as well.
Uh-huh. The screenings in the afternoon and evening.
Yeah, mostly late afternoon, early evening. And they can see my photographs at Parker Stevenson's gallery. I'm now on Madison Avenue gallery, I tell you, coming from lower Third Avenue up to Madison Avenue.
John, it's always a pleasure having you on our show. John Cohen, who is a musician, photographer, filmmaker, folklorist, and formerly a member of the New Lost City Ramblers. It's always a pleasure having you here.
And in the background, you can hear a recording I made of a Peruvian girl, and it's on the Voyager spacecraft. So it's going to go on after the show.